7 a.m. in New York, 2 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 7 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from sundaybean.com, and I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. You know, I always kind of make these side comments about being a nerdy interculturalist, but you really don't have to see what that really looks like. It's something that I might hide from you, but I actually only show the really nerdy side to a few people who get me. And today I am so lucky to have live in the studio here at Expat Happy Hour one of those people who totally gets me, because she has been at the very start of my academic journey as an intercultural strategist. And that is Dr. Chris Acheson, the incoming director of the Center for Intercultural Learning, Mentorship, Assessment, and Research at Purdue University. So Chris, thank you for joining me, the Expat Happy Hour, and promise don't tell the stories of just how nerdy I am.
Like how long your thesis was.
I told you not to tell them about that. So here's the thing. Chris and I have known each other since 2004. Mm-hmm. And I knew her before she officially became Dr. Chris. But she could have been Dr. Chris even then, because she acted like an academic mentor to me even back then. Let me brag on Chris for a second. You don't become the incoming director for the Center for Intercultural Learning at Purdue without having a long list of accomplishments and accolades. And Chris is honestly an outstanding scholar and has had, since I've known her, journals, the very first, you know, article in major journals academically, making a splash from the very beginning, and she hasn't stopped since. I looked at her professional CV just before we started recording today, and it was at least 12 pages long. And let's just say the places she's showing up, she's making a huge contribution to the intercultural context on things like silence and a host of other things, and among them being how we develop across cultures. So happy to have you. Chris is also a wonderful friend and has the secret ability to be an amazing artist, birth calves, and cook amazing soup. So it's kind of a combination. Yes, a kind of talent you don't see every day. So it's extra special to have you here. All right, Chris. So we actually have a little surprise today, don't we?
Yeah, we're so excited.
Chris and I have been working on something since 2011. And I remember this all started when you came to Switzerland and I was extremely pregnant with my second child.
And I was extremely tired dragging, you know, umpteen students around Switzerland with me.
She came on a study abroad leading the students through actually project of my position I had at the time. As intercultural head of intercultural management at the Swiss Post in mm-hmm. Switzerland. So we were doing a professional project together. And because of what happened during that time, today we have something brand new for you. Let me just jump in here and tell you a little detail on the tangible thing that the surprise we're mentioning is attached to. We are presenting a new way to understand our experiences as we live and adapt across cultures. Our ideas can now be found in the European Journal of Cross-Cultural Competence and Management. We're super excited about it. You can check it out in our forthcoming article called Representing the Intercultural Development Continuum as a Pendulum, addressing the lived experiences of intercultural competence, development, and maintenance. In the rest of this interview, you're going to find out more about what that means for you in your life, and we're going to share more on why we did this. Honestly, we did this for you, because what we're seeing in our nerdy intercultural world is there's been something that's been missing, and we created this as a completely new take on how how we think we develop our ability to adapt across cultures. We wanted to bring something to you that helps you see your experience differently and that really aligns with research, but also aligns with your experience. We're going to tell you more about that in a little bit. But tell me more, Chris. So you and I were there. You went off to a licensing course.
Right. Yeah. So I took a couple of days off and had some, you know, someone sort of fill in for me, substitute teach with the study abroad program. And I went to a training course with the Intercultural Development Inventory, which is a tool. You want to say a couple words about
it? Well, the tool, just very basic, is something that you use if you're a practitioner to gauge how we react when we're with people that are different from you. So it makes sense if you're an international student or if you're an expat, if you're a business person, to have one of those honest conversations about how do you see yourself and how do you see yourself in relation to others when, of course, you're working in different intercultural contexts.
Right. Yeah. So it's in academic terms, it would be called a formative assessment, but I like your phrasing there, very, very accessible phrasing of it's a tool for figuring out who you are in relation to other people. So I was in this training seminar, and I just can't turn off that critical side of my brain. You know, like I should be sitting there being a good student thinking, oh, yes, this makes sense. Oh, yes, I can really use this. But instead, my brain is like, no, but wait a minute. But what of all these life experiences I've had and that other people have told me about that don't make sense within this framework? Mm-hmm. Is there a way that we can take this existing theory and this model and this instrument and the way that it gets talked about and make it more applicable to people's lives?
And this makes total sense for, again, let's nerd out, because again, again in this episode. So I would call myself an interpretivist scholar with critical leanings, right? Meaning I look at people's experiences and look for themes and what we notice, and we gain knowledge from people's experiences. So that is a form of knowledge gathering.
Right.
And it's important for us to know about people's experiences and whether the words and the frameworks we have to explain our experiences match up with our perceptions.
Exactly. The last thing we want is all this academic research that is totally disconnected from people's actual lives.
Mm-hmm. Because what I find is, you know, with my coaching, I mean, I've thousands of hours with people over a decade, and their experience is at the forefront, right? And if they're in pain or they're struggling or they're frustrated, they're looking for relief and looking for ways to make sense of their experience. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in coaching where I've presented a concept and they're like, oh my God, there's language for that. Even something as simple that, you know, most people know about with imposter syndrome. Thankfully, we know that word now. So you can look for it like, oh, wait, do I have it? We need language to make sense of our experience and then to maybe even break free from where we're at. So that's a little bit of what was coming up. So you were being a critical scholar, good student, critiquing. And then what happened?
Well, I had this epiphany, like, you know, instead of this linear process that they were describing in the seminar, what if it was not a line?
Right. So what does a line look like for those who don't know about this model? What does the line as we know it look like?
Right. So the Intercultural Development Inventory is based on research that's been around since the 70s and 80s. So if we think of ourselves as standing on the shoulders of giants, we have to sort of give credit to all the folks who've been doing this research before us. And this all started with the Bennetts. So mm-hmm. Janet and
Milton
Bennett, right. And so this is something called the developmental model of intercultural sensitivity. And basically it's a developmental model means that you have stages that you go through. So you picture a line that moves from left to right, and people start on the left and then they work through stages, and some people progress farther than others on this line, but sort of the goal is to make it all the way to the right on this line.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, another model was based on this original research called the Intercultural Development Continuum, very similar linear stages along a line. And that's what the intercultural development inventory is based on are these models.
And let me just, before we go further, you've said standing on the shoulders of giants. This way of seeing things is very based on research, you know, a lot of qualitative data behind it, and really useful in the classroom. I remember when I was at the Summer Institute of Intercultural Communication back in 2005, it helped me have that aha moment. Like, oh, okay. I remember, you know, when I was young, I thought everybody looked and talked like me. And then when I got older, I realized, oh, people are different. And, you know, they're different, but are we similar? Like asking the questions. And maybe some of these questions are resonating with you. Maybe you've come to a point where you're like, we're different. And those differences actually matter. Mm-hmm. And I remember also relying on the same model when living in Switzerland, I felt like I could go between the US context and the Swiss context and feel like I had integrated these aspects in my identity. So what we're saying here is this is really useful. Mm-hmm. And thanks to where they've brought us, we've got ideas on what's next.
Right. Yeah. So one thing I should say also about the current state of research here is that Mitch Hammer, another giant here, who has developed the Intercultural Development Inventory, this instrument is extremely well used. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have taken it in various contexts. It's used in institutions of higher education, but also in corporate contexts around the world. And there are hundreds of publications, dozens of dissertations using this instrument. So it's very, very solid research. Mm-hmm. But even despite all that, I'm sitting in the seminar thinking, but wait, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking of stories. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the stories that I've lived and the stories that I've heard other people tell me that maybe aren't quite so neat and linear.
Exactly. Right? So Chris comes back with this little gem in her heart and head. And, you know, in true Sunday style, we're having dinner and I'm grilling her, you know, what was it like? And what did you learn? And blah, 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 blah. I was so excited to nerd out with Chris. And that's where you came out with this idea of a pendulum.
Right. So that's basically the big breakthrough for me was, what if it's not a straight line? What if it's something a lot messier than that? What if it's something that moves back and forth? Depending on the context that you're in, depending on how much energy and concentration, you know, that you have at that moment, depending on your life circumstances and the resources that you have available to you and what's happening in your life at the moment. And what would that look like if we thought about it as a pendulum instead of as a straight line?
Mm-hmm. And as she was telling this to me, I automatically thought about my own experience in Switzerland and how depending on, you know, whether I got rejected for a job or whether I really just needed connection with people who understood me, that my openness to different cultures, even though I had, you know, a master's degree in intercultural communication, I could be more open or closed depending on how well I was doing or what was going on in my life at that moment. That there was something about it that resonated it. And I had no idea how much this would resonate until I moved to Burkina Faso and we went through a whole nother context. And I realized that, you know, the strategies that I had used in Switzerland and had built, while they were strong, things get a little bit shaken up when you go to a completely different context. So do you want to share more about the pendulum and what's important? And I want the people who are listening, you know, by now you might either think that we are really way too nerdy or you might still be with us and be curious what we're talking about. So what I want you to do for this next part is I want you to imagine a pendulum. So if English isn't your first language, if it doesn't cross in your language quickly, imagine a pendulum is a weighted ball hanging on a string. And it swings from left to right, depending on what's happening magnetically. So that's what we're talking about when we think of a pendulum. And you can go to my blog to get a visual of what we're talking about for those of you who need something physical in front of you to see it by downloading our free guide. So check it out there if you need to see something as we share more.
You know, going back to what you were saying, that we did this for your listeners. We did this for the people that you coach, for the students that I teach, for the faculty that I work with in professional development, for all of our friends and our family members who are living in situations that are different from the culture that they grew up, and interacting with people who come from a different place, speak a different language, you know, have different sets of values and those kinds of things. This is a very useful tool. So hopefully it'll be that magic spot somewhere between, you know, ivory tower academia mm-hmm. and lived experience where people can take the best of both worlds and make use of it. Okay, so if you're imagining a pendulum in your head, if you take it in your hand and you pull it all the way out to the left, the left side you can imagine is a focus on similarity. So when you're seeing people, maybe in a new culture that you're moving into, or a new colleague, or maybe even a new family member who's come from a completely different background than you, when you're all the way over on the left-hand side of the pendulum, you're really focused on the similarities between you and those other people. And that first stage is called denial, because you don't even really see cultural differences. It's totally not on your radar that really deep cultural differences exist or are important.
So one example would be if, let's say, you are a U.S. American and you have someone from Switzerland come visit, and the Swiss person has really great English. Probably they learned American English during a year study abroad. So they sound like you. They might even look like you. So you have this sense of we're the same. Mm-hmm. And what you can't see is all of the differences that are under the surface. So if what you see is, oh, here's, we sound alike, we look alike, then there's the denial there. Right. We're denying how we're different. We're focusing on similarity.
Right, exactly. And then usually something happens that brings difference to the forefront. Like, it wasn't on your radar before, but all of a sudden it's in your face and you can't ignore it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when something like that happens, you swing all the way to the right-hand side. So imagine that pendulum starting on the left and swinging as far as it can to the right. And that side is focused on difference. So when something traumatic happens, or something like a conflict between you and another person, or misunderstanding, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, we really are different from each other. And, you know, this difference kind of is a problem.
Right. So in the same example, if even the accent sounds similar and their fluency is similar, but the words that they choose are so much more direct than you're comfortable with, you might feel attacked, mm-hmm. and it might create the polarization. Right. And it's not what you expected.
Right, right. So polarization is that second stage all the way on the right-hand side of the pendulum. And it's this us versus them sort of feeling of, man, we are worlds apart. And I really feel like the way I do things, or maybe the way you do things, is better. Mm-hmm. Right? You have kind of a gut reaction of, that's a value to it, that's judgmental in some way.
This is like when the honeymoon is over, when you got to a new place and right. you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
This is hard.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when people move past that stage, they react again and think, well, I don't want to pay so much attention to difference. I want to move past this. I want to minimize conflict. I don't want to always, you know, be at odds with people. I want to try to adapt. And so they try deliberately to focus on similarity more, and they move back towards the left-hand side. They don't swing all the way back to denial, but they do move past the center point towards a focus on similarity. And that third stage is called minimization, mm-hmm. where, yeah, you recognize some cultural differences, but you tend to think of very surface level differences, like maybe food or holidays, or
I mean, we're both women, yeah. we're both the same age.
Yeah, exactly. So
that can be a trap too. I've fallen in that one before, where mm-hmm. I assumed that those similarities were enough. Mm-hmm. And then whoops, you find out they're not.
Yeah. So people start to think in this stage, deep down, you know, we're all human beings. We all have the same needs, the same goals. And that can be really deceptive, because there's a lot of cases when that's not true.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of even as extreme as life or death, yeah. like when you would make a decision to intervene in someone else's life is a total value difference that can happen across cultures, of honor that comes to the forefront, or individuality.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Or things like, what are definitions of friendship or leadership, mm-hmm. you know, or success? What do these mean in different cultures, right?
Exactly.
So we're ignoring those really deep concepts whenever we're minimizing. So then people often move out of minimization into acceptance, which is a little bit more focused on difference. And that's where you really begin to deeply understand cultural differences, but you can't necessarily change your behavior. So only when you can adapt do you center the pendulum and create this place of stillness, where the pendulum is hanging straight up and down and you're balanced right between similarity and difference, handling them both, you know, understanding both, focusing on both at the same time.
And do you see how that metaphor is different? Because adaptation, when I talk to my clients, they feel like I have to stretch, I have to move. It's this, an effort. And here, when we look at it, when we've really reached a level of adaptation, inside, we're able to sort of hold the similarities and differences at the same time and have that not destabilize who we are. And that is freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I always say that I had a love-hate relationship with Switzerland the first 4 years. And then after I got back from my master's degree, I came and returned to Switzerland and I felt so much more grounded because I felt like I could see, hey, this is how we do it in Switzerland. It's different from how they do it in the US. And I felt like there was much more grounded feeling about my experience. And that is one definition of adaptation.
Right.
So this is really, I mean, when we're sharing these stages, we're connecting this to the literature for you. And this might be a little bit too much on the nerdy level, but we want to help you understand what this means for your everyday life. Because when your pendulum gets unsettled, it's important for you to feel like you can understand the situation and you can have strategies to help you create that stability that we truly feel when we're in a place of adaptation. Right. So, Chris, can you share with them what's important when we think about the pendulum and our own lived experience?
Well, yeah, going back to my original thinking when I first took this training seminar, you know, the linear approach of the model, the intercultural development continuum, and even back to the DMIS, the original model, it implies that, you know, you're chugging along in one direction and you can't go backwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only forward movement. And no matter what circumstances are, you're sort of static and stable in that stage of your development. And that just has not been my experience at all. And so if I think about, you know, the times when I've gone, for example, to a Latin American country where I speak the language very well and I have no trouble adapting and I, you know, I make friends easily and I build social networks and I feel like I understand people and people understand me and I have great familiarity with those contexts. I feel like, you know, I've become stable in this pendulum swing. But then I might go, for example, to China next, mm-hmm. and my pendulum starts swinging. I you know, take these wild swings between look at all the things that we have in common that I never expected to see, and oh my word, I never could have imagined how this is literally the opposite side of the world in every imaginable way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, I mean, all the skills that you built in Latin America don't disappear. But there's a destabilization about what you're focusing on,
right?
And how that impacts you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, if I don't speak the language in China and I'm not that familiar with the cultural context and I don't understand what people are saying to me or not saying to me or, you know, sort of saying to me but not, you know, mm-hmm. there's no way for me to be an adaptation to me. There's really even no way for me to be an acceptance because I don't know enough about the context. And so I start swinging back and forth between similarity and difference. I might be in minimization. I might be in polarization.
And that might be in one day.
Right. Exactly. And so the beauty of the pendulum model is that it allows our lives to be messy, right? Mm-hmm. It allows our experience to not, you know, be in these neat stages on a line, but to move back and forth in response to our environment, which changes all the time.
And I think this is really important for international recruitment, because I know there are people who are in corporations who want to hire people who are interculturally competent.
Right.
And then they want to, you know, take a survey and find out what your competence is and then decide who to hire based on that. And I'm sorry, this is bad news, but it's not that simple. And, you know, ways that you can find out more about this person is by looking at what we talk about, the swings, the magnets, mm-hmm. and the anchors.
That exactly.
It's not like how competent are you, but what's going on in your life regarding swings, magnets, and anchors. So tell us, Chris, a little bit more about the swing.
So the swing is the movement, the destabilization that we were just talking about. Like, are you focused more on similarity? Are you focused more on difference? Are you balanced between in that last stage of adaptation where you are holding both at the same time? Mm-hmm. Where are you on the swing of the pendulum?
And I know there are people listening right now that are like, yeah, I'm swinging wildly, right? And this is what I mean by experience. Like, one day you're like, I love it here. And the next day you're like, this sucks, I want to move. Then you're probably swinging wildly on the pendulum. And I'm a big fan of the Facebook group Grumpy Expat. And I mean, there's some wild swinging happening. We call it grump and ungrump, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you're having good days, you're like, yay, I love it here. This is what happened. That's great. And when you're having bad days, this is where it's really conflicting with a deep value that you have. That's simply a process of swinging on the pendulum. Mm-hmm. And again, just to reiterate, the swings are whether you're focusing on similarities or differences, and it might also be very, very closely tied to your preferences, the behaviors that you expect, or the values that you hold deeply.
Right.
And now so this feels wild. It feels out of control. Like, you know, there's this wild swinging I don't have control over, and it's all based on my mood and the external circumstances. But we have good news. There's something that you can think about. You can understand your experience when we look at what are the magnets. What is pulling you to one side or the other?
Exactly.
And what can you do to support your anchors? What can ground you? So should we talk first about the magnets?
Yeah. So the magnets are life events or, you know, aspects of your circumstances that are going to pull you towards looking more at similarity or looking more at difference. So if we think about that left-hand side and the focus on similarity, you know, a lot of people talk to me about their religion. They talk to me about, you know, how their religion teaches them that maybe sort of this philosophy of all God's children or, you know, all human beings being sort of part of the same family or having something that connects them, right, mm-hmm. in some way. And that sort of discourse, that sort of talking, a way of talking about things, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing at all, but it can make people really focused on the ways that they are similar to other people. And if they're not careful, they might start to ignore things that are different right. about them.
Or vice versa. People. It could be that they only see differences.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're in a predominantly Muslim culture and you happen to be Christian, you mm-hmm. could focus on differences and ignore actually what the similarities are. So magnets are not necessarily positive or negative. They just exactly. are. They pull. And there's no judgment. They're just pulling. And maybe you are, maybe you've had a crappy experience. Maybe your house got robbed, mm-hmm. right? And you're feeling like it's not safe here. And these guys are dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. But you use your religion, let's say, to say, wait a minute, we're all from the same creator. And it might help you actually stabilize mm-hmm. by countering it. So there's no value judgment right. of the magnets. It just is how it works.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned traumatic events, because that's something that happens on the right-hand side when we're focused on difference. It is often a result of something unexpected or something traumatic happening, something that's hard to handle, something that, you know, stimulates all of your emotionality and gets your stress level up and gets your adrenaline pumping. And it could be a conflict with another person. It could be physical, you know, pain or mm-hmm. An injury or something like that. It could be a feeling risk or danger. I know you've told me a lot of stories about the past few years and the things that you've experienced.
Oh, man. Well, I know, you know, living in Burkina Faso, there were times where it is easy to feel different in Burkina Faso when you're an absolute minority in so many ways. So there were times where I felt really isolated from that, and I felt disconnected. So those were moments where I'm like, actually, I'm really starving for connection. And those were moments where I said, okay, forget it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to a, you know, a concert with drummers from, you know, the north and really have a moment of celebration together to sort of counter what I was feeling. We've also, you know, something so simple, but imagine it's 45 degrees Celsius or what is that, 116 in Fahrenheit. You're driving, it's erratic traffic, it's dark, you're scared you're going to kill someone on a bicycle. the stress is high, right? And so in that moment, when someone cuts you off, it is so easy to focus on these bad drivers. They are like that, that the most interculturally competent person on the planet can go there when they're tired and stressed. And this is where, you know, we talked about the importance of recognizing magnets, because I've witnessed with my own eyes people who are incredibly suave in complex intercultural situations lose their lid when they're sweating profusely or, you know, got physically hurt on a bike accident by some freak accident or whatever the situation is, that actually is a small moment. And that's what we're looking at with the magnets. The other thing is we talk about with anchors. And for me, anchors are the thing that make this wild ride feel much calmer and more grounded. Anchors, an example, is when you've got, you know, prime control over your health. And important is that you have really healthy habits with mindfulness, like being present and making sure you're not letting your mind go off. And then the one that you've talked about is having strong, diverse social networks.
Yeah. And the key word there is diverse, because you can have strong social networks, but if they're all in the expat community, they're not helping you balance similarity and difference, right? Mm-hmm. Because that expat community is sort of insulating you, buffering you from your experiences of difference. Yep. So it's important to have strong, diverse social networks. In other words, both people who are like you and people who are different from you.
Exactly. So anchors are the things that really keep you grounded. So for me, an anchor, when I was living, let's say, in Burkina Faso, and we had stressful moments where there was an attempted coup or terrorist attack or something, I remember how important it was to me to actually go out and go for a run or get enough sleep, because that was the thing that kept the pendulum from swinging too wildly out of control.
Yeah, for me, I'm a recovering workaholic, I guess you can say. And so for me, it's making sure that I have a reasonable work-life balance and actually cap my working hours so that I have time to spend with family and to get out into nature and, you know, take care of myself.
What we want you to do is walk away with something tangible for you. So we've got a few tips to offer you so you can take this idea of your own development as an individual, as you cross cultures, and help you understand where you're at in your process. So the tip one that we have is to focus on the swing. So how much swing are you experiencing right now? Are you swinging wildly, or do you feel fairly stable? There's no judgment right or wrong on this. Just notice, are you in motion or are you feeling stable? And also notice, do you have a swing coming up, like a big job change or a big move? Because that helps you understand, what do I have to do to prepare? So our action item for you is to identify how much swing are you experiencing, and then get honest with yourself about your realistic capacity and what you need to do to prepare yourself for the next step. What about tip two, Chris?
So the second one has to do with magnets, right? So thinking about magnets that might pull you to one side or the other, which are the strongest magnets for you right now? Are you more focused on similarities between you and other people? Are you more focused on differences?
Okay. And again, no judgment. Just notice where you're at. And if that's the case, you can look at, is it balanced? What would happen if you were able to focus on what's similar and different? And very simple way to do that is notice, where is your focus? Is it on the grump or the ungrump, right? And that will help you have a more balanced look at where you're at. And it's not just that if everything feels similar, the only reason why we say take inventory, because if you're feeling everything is similar, we're kind of giving you a warning sign, because we're complex beings. And unless you're living with, you know, 12,000 twin sisters, something is different. And if you're not prepared for that, you're going to be taken off guard when you pick up on the difference.
Exactly.
Or you're going to be ignoring differences at the isolation or detriment to the people that you're working with and living with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And important to remember in this tip is that if you're too focused on one side or the other, the solution is not to jump to the other side, not to swing to the opposite extreme, but to find that magic, you know, balance center point that allows you to have both of those things in your life at the mm-hmm. same time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the nerdy interculturalist yeah. always says both and both.
Exactly.
And. So the third tip we have for you is which anchors best stabilize you. And this probably doesn't come as a surprise when you've listened to my podcast, because I always talk about how important it is for you to take care of yourself. So again, what I mentioned for me, it's running enough sleep. For Chris, it's capping her working hours, being with her, you know, family and being in nature. What is it for you? What is it that grounds you, that anchors you? If you want more tips, I've got a ton of resources on my blog, or you can go to episode 99, where I talk about the importance of making self-care an extreme priority when you're going through extreme stress. All right. I think we've nerded out enough, Chris. I want to say a special thank you to you, Chris. Chris has flown all the way across the world to South Africa, not just for this interview, but we made it a priority today to share a message with you. We are sharing this with you first. This is like hot off the press. This is for you first. We're really excited. You're going to be able to find out more about the nerdy academic side. We have that for you on a place called Hubicle. You'll get the link mm-hmm. in the blog or podcast notes. But Chris, tell us, you know, you're such an interesting person. You're doing so many cool things. Where can we find out more about you?
So my center has this wonderful new sort of networking space where you can find all sorts of intercultural tools. Also, you know, meet and greet and question and network with people who also are interested in intercultural things, and even publish things related to intercultural anything. So it's called the Intercultural Learning Hub, and it's just www.hubicl.org. And this publication that's coming out very soon, it's in press right now, and that could be months in the academic world, right? But it is available open access for free. You don't have to have a library subscription. You don't have to pay to download or anything like that. But the entire article is free, both on our Hubicle site and also from the publisher. And then we have condensed it and distilled it so that if you're not intercultural nerds like us, you don't have to read all the academic jargon. You don't have to read the 25 pages of, you know, research and explanations. You can just have a very practical, you know, one page interactive experience with a fillable PDF online. And that guide is free on Sunday's website.
That's our little gift for you, because we're celebrating that this is now out to the world. Again, we did this for you. We did this for you, the one who is living abroad and going through the swings. We did this for those of you who are in corporate contexts and making decisions on who to place in new locations and making wise, informed decisions. We did this for you if you are working in an international student center and are trying to help people understand their experiences. So we're really looking forward to hearing from you. You can always hit reply to a newsletter from me or contact me directly on my website as well at sunday@sundaybean.com. If you have questions directly related to Chris for research and you can't find her online at Purdue, then email me and I'll make sure that I connect the two of you. So there you have it. We're excited to share this with you for the very first time. It's also a sneak peek at the academic stuff that I get my fingers into behind the scenes. And there's so much more to that. But today, just wanted to let you in on that, because I want everything that I do to be very accessible. And I keep some of that stuff in the background because it might have kind of the level of detail you're not interested in hearing. You want to just hear the most important stuff that's relevant to your life. So I keep that top of mind all the time. What's really important to me is that you know that I'm not just fueled by passion and experience, but as much as possible, whatever I share with you is also backed by research. And that means it's through the support of amazing scholars out there that are doing the work to help all of us better understand our own experiences and to find strategies that make a difference. You've been listening to Expat Happy Hour with Sunday Bean. Thank you for listening. It is Isaac Newton in 1675 who said, "If I've seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." And that is what Chris and I were talking about today. So I want to thank all of the giants who've done amazing work, for practitioners like me to build upon, and for people like you who are listening to apply in your own lives. I'll leave you with a final quote from Wayne Dyer. "If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change."